person you interact with. Most people are too busy looking at their computer screens or they lack the self-confidence to make eye contact. Every time you see someone, what color are their eyes? Count the foreheads and wrinkles someone has on their brow or forehead or on their face. Watch a person smile. Look at the way the face moves. Look at the person's shoulders. Do they slump? Do they protrude forward? You can also look at a palm reading chart. Read your own palm. Does that seem kooky? It doesn't really matter. It's not about the magic. It's just about noticing things. You can also sit in a coffee shop for an hour. Count the number of people who come in. Pay attention to their age, race, gender. Try estimating how many customers the cafe has on a given day. Pay attention to the size and shape of each word when you read something. Ask yourself how many words a paragraph contains. The answer doesn't matter. You're just, again, becoming more immersive and checked in. Get on a stopwatch. Count the number of breaths you take in a minute. This also will help you become more mindful of your breathing. You can also pick up your favorite book or check out your favorite website and count the number of words in each sentence. That may seem boring, and I'm not saying count the whole page. It's just try to pick up the cadence, the pace. Is there a pattern? Notice it. Wherever you are, look at how many colors you can see. If I'm writing something in Word, I see a bunch of clutter. Really, I see red and blue. And then I start to understand it. It's not very intuitive, and it doesn't really make much sense. But I notice things that I never noticed before. There's nothing special about those little 10 tricks. Make your own list, but the idea is that mindful people notice what others don't. And when you notice the details that others miss, you become more interesting because visionaries see what others don't see. Chapter 4, Mindset is a Mood, How to Control Your State. State is a concept a lot like frame. We've heard people talk about having the right state of mind, but no one ever really explained what that meant. What does it even mean to talk about your state? What is your state? It's your mood, your emotions, or how you feel in the present moment. It's like an emotion. The way we treat state is a bit contradictory. On the one hand, we are told as children, learn to control your emotions. But other than perhaps counting backwards from 10, we were never told how. It was just something we were kind of told as passive. You feel a certain way, you do a certain thing. If you feel good, you have a good day. If you feel bad, you have a bad day. If you don't feel right, you're mean to people. If you do feel right, you're nice to people. Again, it's been very passive because no one taught us how to actually change our state. We've even heard this expression or maybe said it to ourselves. I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Boy, that's just a recognition that it's going to be one of those days where nothing seems to go right. It's recognizing something about your state, though. You're approaching your state with passivity and not being active. Well, we want to change that. The gorilla mindset shift is, I'm going to take an active approach to managing my state. How to manage and change your state. The original exercises for state control came from a groundbreaking book called NLP, The New Technology of Achievement. Since then, many people such as Tony Robbins has adopted and modified these exercises. I do it a little bit differently. To change your state, you must first use the mindfulness techniques we talked about earlier. You want to check in. Ask yourself, what is your default state? How do you feel generally? Right now, in the present moment, how do you feel? For example, my default state is a bit stoic. I just sort of don't get bothered by things that other people are bothered by. But there's a problem with that. I don't feel great happiness a lot of times either, because I'm very, again, stoic. Stoic is a double-edged sword. You don't feel the lows that others feel, but you also don't feel a lot of highs. Well, what is your default state? How does that work, and how does it make other people perceive you? Another downfall of my default state is I can sometimes feel or seem weak because I just sort of go with the flow. Well, going with the flow isn't because I'm weak or because I don't have preferences, but it's because a lot of things people worry about, such as where do you want to eat lunch, just aren't that important with me, and I just don't care. So oftentimes people can view me as being passive when I'm really not. I just don't care about some things. What's your default state? Again, it could be optimistic, it could be negative, it could be in between, or it could be more resourceful. We all tend to have one, and what you want to do is check in. Don't judge it. Don't say it's the wrong state. Just figure it out. How do you generally feel? 4 steps to mastering state control. This exercise might seem a little weird, it might seem a little mystical, it might be a little touchy feeling, but you now understand that you do have a default state. You do understand that you do feel a certain way, so why can't you change the way you feel? Your body and mind are connected, and your emotions are influenced both by your thinking and by how your body feels. So just think of this as like an acting class. To get into a role, an actor has to trick himself into believing he thinks, feels, and acts differently. Same principles apply here. So to perform the state control exercises, it's essentially you're alone in a place where you feel comfortable because you're going to have to let loose and you're going to have to get a little weird. This is a private moment with yourself. Do not be around other people. Do not judge yourself. Mastering your state requires you to be honest with yourself, to dig deep, and to be comfortable letting go. Unfortunately, most people never master state because they just feel a little weird. Get weird, be by yourself. So we're going to talk about each of the four steps in detail. But the four steps are, 1, get into a room by yourself. 2, feel the emotions inside of your body. 3, create a sphere of emotional space. Then 4, reinforce your new state. Step 1, to find yourself, go be alone. Go somewhere where you will not be distracted for at least 30 minutes. Do not bring anything into the room with you. Turn off the television, your smartphone, and any other distractions. It's important that you have time to yourself away from anything else. Now, we're going to get a little bit weird, but it's okay. First, you're going to talk to yourself. Then again, we've already talked about mindfulness and self-talk and framing, so you know talking to yourself isn't that weird. The purpose of talking to yourself is to rewire your default state. Your default state is what they call home base, is what you feel when you're not trying to feel a certain way. It's just kind of how you naturally feel without any additional effort. We want to change your default state from a negative one to a positive one. So when you're by yourself, you begin by saying to yourself, I'm setting my home base. My home base and my default state is going to be one of empowerment, resourcefulness, and invincibility. Then again, you may want to feel an entirely different way, and if so, that's fine. You can modify these exercises. What matters most is you are taking control and deciding what your home base will be instead of just treating your emotions, feelings, and moods as something that happens to you. To me, invincibility just means you can't be defeated as long as you don't quit. It doesn't mean you always win. It just means you're not going to lose because you're not going to quit. Resourcefulness believes meaning you have the abilities and resources to solve any of life's problems. To change your default state, you must return into your mind when you felt invincible, power, and resourceful. That's the key. Was there ever a time in your life when you felt on top of the world? Could be big, it could be small. Maybe you won the spelling bee as a kid, or maybe you had some success as an athlete. It doesn't matter if it was a so-called high level or a so-called low level. This is about how you feel. Maybe it was just when you overcome a difficult situation. Maybe you got over being broken up with, or maybe you just found the courage to ask someone on a date. It doesn't matter what it was. It doesn't matter if other people think it's a big deal. It matters that your body feels good about yourself because that is what you want to do. You want to feel that way all the time. Step 2, feel the emotions inside of your body. After you've returned to that moment of triumph, be mindful of what happens to your body. Become aware. Check in. How do you feel? Is your skin tingling? Do you feel a rush of blood to your cheeks or arms? Everybody's body is going to react a little bit differently to the state control exercise, and that's okay. For example, I feel blood flow and energy in my forearms. Others feel these exercises in their legs, shoulders, chest, and even cheeks. There's no wrong place to feel the energy. What matters is you are becoming aware of this energy and where it happens in your body. Pay attention to what's happening to your body and to your mind. As you monitor your body, you're also creating a new biofeedback loop between your emotional state and your physical state. You can return to your mental power by learning how to recreate those feelings of physical power. Since I feel energy in my forearms doing the state control exercise, I will shake my forearms when I'm in a bad mood. Getting extra blood flowing to my arms improves my mood. Why? I don't know, but it does. This stuff may sound weird, but it really does work, and that's why you have to do the exercises. So if I feel like I'm losing confidence, I gesticulate my arms. I move my arms back and forth, and then I feel my state of resourcefulness returning to me. As you become more in touch with the connection between your body and your mind, you will also be able to trigger emotions inside your mind by moving your body. Step 3, create your sphere of emotional space. Now that you know how to capture the feelings of power in your body, you want to imagine that you're creating this power around yourself. So before you end this exercise, close your eyes, start to breathe deeply. As you breathe deeply with your eyes closed, imagine an orb of energy surrounding you. This is your sphere of power. And yes, it sounds weird, but yes, it really works. Imagine this orb or force field is surrounding your body, protecting you from all the negative influences and emotions of the outside world. I actually imagine having a cartoon-like bubble or force field around me. This bubble is a metaphor for your personal space. We all have a sense of personal space, which is generally about 18 inches from our face. When a person physically invades our personal space, we feel threatened. What about emotional space? Shouldn't it be equally important to create emotional space? That's all this orb is. It's a metaphor. It's emotional space. When you create this orb of emotional space, what you're doing is creating a safe place. Even if you're surrounded by chaos or negative energy, you're going to feel invulnerable and you're going to feel resourceful. Step 4, reinforce your newfound state. Once you've gone into the room, you've been alone, you've dug deep into yourself, you've learned how to recreate these feelings in your body, you have to reinforce it. This is like brushing your teeth or going to the gym. It isn't something you do once and then you have it. It's something that you have to do frequently. It's a habit, and as you do it more often, then you can change it. It does become easier. At first, this is weird and it's awkward, but after a while, it's something that you can channel in just a few seconds. You have to view yourself as a star athlete. They practice. You have to practice for life. When starting off, it's helpful to perform the state control exercises several times a day. As you get better at it and as your competency increases, you can reduce it and just do it a couple of times a week. The state control worksheet. Fill this out. Again, it's going to reinforce everything you've learned. Think back to a time when you felt on top of the world. Write out the experiences in much detail as you can. If you're stuck, just think about the who, what, when, where, and why of the situation. Again, write it all out. Next, describe how you felt when you were on top of the world. Did you feel powerful, confident, resourceful, invincible, or happy? There's no right or wrong answer here. This is about how you felt. Write it out, again, in as much detail. Now, as you imagine this feeling, describe what happens to your body. Do you feel increased blood flow to a certain part of your body? Do you perhaps stand or sit with a different posture? Does your chin lift up? Write it out. How can you move your body to recapture the powerful emotion that you just felt? For example, I move my arms out away from my body. This triggers powerful feelings within myself. What do you do? Again, journal this feeling. Also, feel free to add anything else you want to put in. Write it out. This is your worksheet. This is your journal. This is your life. State control habits. There are a few, again, small habits or mindset shifts that you can do to reinforce your state. You always want to remind yourself that how you feel is a choice. It is a choice. Remind yourself that how I feel is a choice I make in the present moment. Do not passively accept whatever emotional state happens to affect your body. Mood is active, not passive. You want to capture and recreate the moment. We all have good days and we all have challenging days. When you're feeling especially good, resourceful, or confident, capture the moment. Stop. Reflect. Track where in your body you have the feeling. Recreate this feeling later on when you're having a blah day. How do you recreate it again? We just talked about that with those exercises. Next, you want to find an outlet. Find a release valve for yourself. A lot of times we have negative energy in our body and we don't know what to do with it. We yell at people. We scream at people. Well, don't shout at people. Don't mistreat people. Find some kind of outlet. For me, going to the gym or riding is an outlet. A lot of times I'll just write nasty emails to people, but I never send them and I feel better. There's nothing wrong with needing an outlet. Find that outlet. Don't use other people to take out the energy on. Finally, continue performing the state control exercises. You're not going to master anything, let alone our emotions, after reading a few pages in a book. You must practice continually because our emotions are a challenge, and indeed most people never master them. But you will master your emotions, and you now know how to, and you now have the tools. Chapter 5, Mindset is Focus, How to Take Back Control of Your Attention. We live in an ADHD society where the demands on our time and consciousness are endless. Employers expect us to be on the clock 24/7. Spouses, family, and friends demand attention too. We're also bombarded with advertisements, TSA threat levels, and negative messages from the evening or online news. But our loss of focus can have disastrous consequences. Most work-related accidents are due to inattention. The home is actually the most dangerous place in the world, as data shows that you're most likely to die at home than anywhere else. Sure, a lot of this has to do with how much time we spend at home, but a lack of attention plays a major role in household accidents. Inattention can have very sad and very tragic consequences. I've changed some names to protect the family's privacy, but this happens more often than you would think. John Smith was on his way to work, and it was a day like any other day. He loaded up his car, hopped in, and began his morning commute. He arrived at work just like any other day. He went to the office, talked to colleagues, sat at his desk. After putting in a full day of work, he went to his car. Sheer terror overwhelmed his body. He had forgotten his child in the car. Rather than drop his child off at daycare, He left his baby in the car and the child died of dehydration. This is not hypothetical. Every year happens. Around 30 to 50 children die after being left inside of cars. Now, these parents love their children. It's an accident. John Smith, like every other parent, had thousands of thoughts running around in his mind. He was thinking about packing food for his child, packing his own lunch, vaccinations, records, and so many other different things. And like most working parents, he was sleep-deprived. You must take back your attention. Focus on the essentials. Get into the moment. Do not run on autopilot or become an automaton. Otherwise, you can't have disaster in your life. How can we regain our focus? I kind of have a humorous story about this. Less tragic, but it's still very frustrating. I ran into a friend of mine and I said, "How was your trip to Croatia?" I knew that he had a big trip planned and he was going with another one of my friends and I wanted to hear what happened. "We never went," he answered. I couldn't believe it. He was so excited for that trip. We were, but Tony forgot to renew his passport. Now, some may say Tony was irresponsible for not renewing his passport, but I would say he was unfocused. Tony wasn't focused on what he absolutely 100% needed for his vacation. Like most of us, he was focused in 1,000 different directions, which is another way of saying he wasn't focused on anything at all. When planning a vacation, there are a lot of issues to worry about. It's easy to lose focus. Think about the last time that you planned a vacation. All of this and more, especially if you're traveling with children, went through your head. Did I put my vacation time in? Is now a good time to leave? What's going to happen to the project I was working on? What am I going to wear? Is it cold? Should I pack a raincoat? How many bags do I need to pack? What about this utility bill? What if somebody doesn't feed my cat? Do I have enough money? Can I afford this? And on and on and on. And while you certainly don't want your cat to starve, it's easy to find someone to feed your cat. You can still get on your flight if you forget to pay a utility bill, but you can't get on the flight unless you have a passport. And that happens so often. And that's the mistake that we make, is we focus on 1,000 different things instead of what must you absolutely have. What do you absolutely need? So what I do is before I leave, I always make sure that my passport, wallet, and cell phone are in the pants that I'm going to wear the next day, and I set them out because no matter what happens, I'll be able to still take my trip. Well, that's just a metaphor for life. Focus on what is actually essential. Yes, details matter. Yes, not essential details can become a very big deal if you neglect them, but you have to focus on what matters first. Set aside what you absolutely, positively, 100% must do before you worry about anything else. Then you worry about the little things. That's all life is. What really matters in your life, focus on that before you worry about any of the other details. Now that you know that you need to focus, the question is, what should you do when you feel distracted or you feel losing focus? Well, as you know by now anyway, all these guerrilla mindset concepts tie together. When you feel distracted, engage in self-talk. Ask yourself, what am I focusing on? Return to the present moment. What do you need to accomplish? Check into what you need and check out of what you do not need. Again, talking to yourself is such a big help. For example, right now, well, I'm in the recording studio right now, but when I wrote this book, I was on an airplane to Hanoi and for a short vacation. I was writing this chapter, and then I got distracted. I started thinking about marketing. I started thinking about this. I started thinking about that. And then I wasn't even writing because my mind was going in so many different directions. So I used self-talk. I returned to the present moment. I talked about where I was. I talked about my fingers, and I said, my fingers are connecting with keys. That is what I said, self-talk. My fingers are connecting with the keys and words are appearing on the screen. Sentences are appearing word by word. I didn't even know what I was writing, but the words came out because I was checked in and I was mindful. The next thing you can do is change your focus. We often go from a state of inattention to hyper-focusing on trivial bullshit. Change your focus. How many times have you said, my Wi-Fi won't work? Where's my food? Why is this taking so long? And we get so angry, but we focus on things that they don't even really matter. Well, you want to check in. What are you focusing on? Well, you're focusing on negative emotions. What happens when you focus on negative emotions? What happens to your body? Well, you get angry. What happens when you get angry? You're now moving farther away from feeling good and from feeling strong. That's again because you're focusing. This ties also into the framing chapter. Remember, as we said earlier from Tony Robbins, what you focus on is what you feel. If you focus on what's lacking in your immediate moment, that's a scarcity mindset. Focus on what you have and where you are. That's the abundance mindset. You're not going to feel frenzied. You're not going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel empowered. Focus, again, works both ways. You can focus on what matters. You can focus on what doesn't matter. You can focus on what you feels rich, and you can focus on what feels poor. But remember to check in. Ask yourself, if you're focusing on something, why am I focusing on this? Why am I focusing on a triviality? Why am I focusing on a distraction? Why am I focusing on negative things? Your focus brings you closer to what you want, and what you want is to feel good about yourself, so focus on those things. Focus on your goals. In Pumping Iron, a documentary about bodybuilding icon and Hollywood legend Arnold Schwarzenegger, we saw the power of focus. Arnold was focusing on an upcoming bodybuilding competition, and he was asked, how do you feel good, how do you not get frustrated, and how do you not get upset? He said, all I focus on is the competition and my goals. He used an example, if my car gets broken into or stolen, I just call the insurance company. I don't even care. It's not even an issue. Now, most of us would be angry if we went outside and our car was gone. What if we allowed our emotions to overtake us? What would happen to us? It would add stress to our lives and it would make us less focused on what we need to do. It would drain us. Is it worth it? Is losing vital, emotional, physical, and life force worth it? Is losing our temper worth it? Arnold refused to let any distraction get in the way of his goals, and as a result, he has lived the lives other men dreamed of. It's easy to become distracted and feel angry. The way to overcome this is by checking in constantly, engaging in empowering and helpful self-talk, and returning your focus to what really matters. Again, use that self-talk to keep yourself accountable, change your framing, and change your focus. We've talked a lot about our focus, and our focus is our attention, which we understand. But again, we want to talk about how can we improve it. What is it about our focus, and how can we make it more concentrated? How can we really zero in on things? Well, in a way, you have to become a little ruthless. You have to be a little bit ruthless because you have to cut out anything that doesn't bring you closer to your goals. So here are four questions to answer to develop better focus. 1, what do you want more of? 2, what do you want less of? 3, does the person or activity you're engaging in bring you more of what you want? 4, does the person or activity bring you less of what you want? Remember, we're the sum totals of our activities and the people we surround ourselves with. Because we are the sum total of the people and activities we engage in, we have to be conscious and mindful of who we spend our time with. Are the people you're spending your time with bringing you closer to your goals? Are they leading to more happiness and fulfillment in your life? Are the activities you engage in bringing you closer to your goals? A lot of times we're just mindless and we don't think about it and we waste a lot of time, or we let people take advantage of us, and it has to stop. Because focus has to be ruthless. You have to cut out everything that doesn't bring you closer to your goals. And what is a goal anyway? A goal is just a positive outcome you desire in your life. For example, you don't set a goal to die in a car crash. You set some goal because you believe achieving that goal or engaging in the process en route to the goal will have a positive outcome in your life. Well, what positive outcome do you desire? Could be anything. Happiness, financial freedom, more free time, healthier body, better fitness, more travel. Determine what you want. Write it out. Really think about it. And then ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now bringing me closer to my goal, or is it bringing me further away from my goal? Ask yourself, are the people I'm spending my time with bringing me further to my goal or closer to my goal? Always look, are you actually getting closer to your goal by hanging out with the people you're with or by doing the things that you're doing? To develop good focus, too, you also want to know, what do you want less of? We all want less of negative outcomes. Negative outcomes include depression, stress, anger, anxiety, sickness, disease, jealousy, outrage. Whatever you want less of, you have to know. Ask yourself, what do you want less of? And then ask yourself, are what you're doing going to give you more of that or less of that? For example, if you want to feel less angry, why do you read the news or why do you watch TV? More often than not, the news is just there to instill fear, shock, and outrage. I don't watch TV other than an occasional show on HBO, and I don't watch the news. So you want to ask these questions to decide, is what you're doing bringing you closer to what you want? Maybe what you're doing is actually bringing more of what you don't want but you weren't aware of. A lot of times, for example, I don't want more stress. But to get stress, you get money, right? Money and stress is so tied together. So a lot of times I have to ask myself, is this money worth this stress? Is this money worth this headache? Now, maybe it is or maybe it isn't. Sometimes it is or sometimes it isn't. But I'm at least aware of it and I'm mindful of it. So then what happens is that if I feel a little stressed out, I'm saying, well, I needed the money, so it's okay, and then I'm better able to cope with your stress. So what you need to do to develop this focus, conduct an inventory of everyone in your life and conduct an inventory of everything you do in your life. Ask yourself, are you getting more of what you want or are you getting less of what you want? And, you know, sometimes you have to cut people out of your life, and that may seem cruel or indeed ruthless, but it's your life and that's what it takes to succeed. Now, as you become more focused on what you want out of life, here's what you're going to hear. Is focusing on what you want in life selfish? Once you start focusing on your goals, here's what you're going to hear. You're being so selfish. But is that really true? Are you being selfish? And is it right for people to call you selfish? I'm, for example, a pretty low-key guy. I don't really ask people for much. Usually it's people who are trying to get me to do something for them, or they try to guilt trip me. Or a lot of times people just frankly try to con me into doing something and they give me false pretenses for the job. I just say no, and then they act like it's so immoral. They say, Mike is so selfish. Why are you so selfish? But by saying no, I'm not being selfish. I'm not compelling anyone to do anything. I'm not imposing my will on anyone. I'm just saying, no, I just want to be left alone. When people insist you do what they want, they are controlling their own lives and your life. They are the most selfish people of all. So what you may learn when you develop stronger focus is that many people in your life aren't very good friends, and they're not very good family members, and that they need to step up their game if they're going to be in your life. So ask yourself, do you want them to remain in your life? If so, why? Come up with a reason. If they're going to bring you more negative outcomes and fewer positive outcomes, is there a reason to leave them in your life? I don't think so. On the plus side, though, when you develop more focus, you're going to find a higher caliber of people who love you for who you are. True friends want to see you succeed. They want what is best for you. If people call you selfish, then that's because they want to control your life and their best out of your life. Your Gorilla Focus Worksheet. Remember, to regain our focus, you have to determine what it is we want, who we want in our lives, and you need to write this out, and you need to answer these questions. 1. What do you want more of? Write it out. It could be anything. It could be freedom. It could be money. It could be free time. It could be relationships. Whatever it is, write it out. And then write out, what do you want less of? Again, those are usually negative things. We don't want stress. We don't want anxiety. We don't want panic. Next question. Does the person, and put the name in there, right? Does so-and-so bring you more of what you want? Then, does the activity bring you more of what you want? Is how you spend your time getting you more of what you want? And then the next question is, does the person actually bring you less of what you want? Because a lot of people, they cause stress in our lives. And if you want less stress, maybe you need to do something about that person. And the same is true of activities. A lot of people, they don't want to feel anger. And then they watch the news and they say, I can't believe what I saw on TV. Well, that's inconsistent. So ask yourself, is that activity bringing you more of what you want or less of what you want? Fill out the worksheet, answer those questions. And that will improve your focus. These are some gorilla focus habits that will improve your habit. 1, turn your cell phone off at the gym. When I'm at the gym, I don't have my cell phone on. That's time to live off the grid. 2, turn your cell phone off when you're playing with your children. They're the most important people in your life, and mindlessly checking email and be distracted is something they will notice and they will remember. Turn it off. You don't have to turn it off all day, but give people some undivided attention. That's how they feel loved. That's how they feel special. You also want to do not ever eat in front of the television. When you eat, you're not focused on anything. When you eat, you want to focus on your food. If you're eating in front of a television, you're kind of watching TV, kind of eating. And studies have shown you tend to overeat by up to 25 to 50%. Again, it's because you're being mindless. You also want to pick one task to accomplish at a time. Yeah, the world is busy and we're frenzied, but you can't actually work on more than one task at a time. People say be a multitasker. It's actually not true. We tend to switch from one task to another, but whenever we switch tasks, we lose flow. Pick one thing to accomplish and do it one thing at a time. Also, recognize that focus is either or. Again, we're not task multitaskers. We are task switchers. You're focused on one thing or you're focused on another thing. Remember that. You also want to use self-talk. Ask yourself, what are you focusing on? Right now, what am I focusing on? Why am I focusing on this? Is focusing on this issue or this person or this idea, is it bringing me closer to my goals or is it bringing me further away from my goals? Again, you can see how it's all tied together, self-talk, mindfulness, focus. Everything is together. Also, mood. If you focus on the wrong things, your state is going to change and you're going to feel worse. Also, remember that your focus is finite. Our human willpower and ability to focus is limited. I have a chapter coming up on this, actually. So avoid depleting your focus by wasting it on negative energy or toxic people. Organize your life to maximize your focus. Also, focus on good health. Mind, body, they're all related. Your focus requires brain power. It requires good nutrition. Finally, focus on what matters most in your life. By taking inventory of your life as you did with that worksheet, you develop that focus, and then you understand who or what you want in your life. Focus on those people and those activities, and that's how you develop focus. We're now going to move on to part 2 of the book. If you look at Gorilla Mindset, you can kind of see it as 2 different parts. The first part was directly the mindset exercises that you can do, how you can change your mindset. But now we have to look at how your lifestyle affects your mindset, how your health and fitness and everything else is tied to your mindset. So this is chapter 6, Mindset is Lifestyle. Change the way you live. Well, you now understand the power of mindset, and you have the habits and skills you need that will change the way you look, think, and feel. These shifts are going to have a major impact on your life, but you have to make another guerrilla mindset shift. Your lifestyle and your mindset are linked. What is lifestyle? Lifestyle is just a set of behaviors and behavioral orientations. It's essentially how you live your life. It's what you do on a day-to-day basis. Lifestyle is what you eat. It's what you drink. It's who you hang out with. It's what you read. It's what you write. It's what you watch. It's everything that you do during the day. So the reason these are connected is because, ask yourself, is it easier or harder to control your emotions if you've had a good night's sleep? Are you more or less able to check into the present moment when your smartphone isn't zapping at you every second? Are you more likely to feel an attitude of gratitude when you're around warm, kind, and generous people? So a lot of times we think of mindset defensively. I give you a bunch of exercises, and I sometimes don't like the tone. It isn't to say, okay, we just want to overcome obstacles. We want to get over depression. We want to take it to the next level. Now we're not talking about just getting over stuff. Now we're talking about how you can take your life to the next level and how you can elevate things. So again, use those exercises that we talked about, not just defensively, not just to ward off negative thoughts and negative emotions. Now we want to think about how can you change your life and modify your life so that everything gets better. If the only message you took away from guerrilla mindset is that you need to cut out negative people and negative activities and spiritual vampires from your life, then this book would be a success. So there are a lot of ways that you can improve your mindset by improving your lifestyle, and a lot of it is avoiding drama, it's avoiding negative situations, it's avoiding draining people. We want you to start choosing to engage in life-affirming activities with positive, helpful people. Here are a few tips and some things that you can do. One, and this is going to be the hardest part, is you must cut off contact with negative people, even negative family members. Remember, your lifestyle has an effect on your mindset. The way you live includes the people you hang out with. And the more people you have in your life, the more stress you're going to have. But if you have a higher quality of people in your life, you're going to have more fulfillment. You're going to feel more generosity. You're not going to feel like you're taken advantage of because the people in your life are going to want to better you and help you. So instead of using guerrilla mindset techniques defensively, that is, you're dealing with drama and family hassle and your friends and everybody else, you just get around the right people and you use them offensively. You don't think, well, I'm in a bad mood, I'm going to change my state to be in a good mood. You think, I'm in a good mood and I'm going to be in awesome mood. You don't think, well, I'm kind of depressed, I want to not be depressed. You start to think, I want to feel amazing. But you have to make these lifestyle changes. Another tip is just start saying no to everything. Chances are you're already too busy. You need to put work in on yourself. You don't have the time right now to allow others to impose their demands and their egos upon you. Some advice is just for the next 4 weeks, say no to everything and everyone. I know that goes against what you're told. You have to say yes. You have to be a people pleaser. Just try it out. For the next 4 weeks, commit to yourself. Say no to everything. Can you do this? No. Will you do that? No. If people really want it done, well, they can come talk to you in a month. There's nothing that can't wait for a month. Now's the time to put commitment into yourself. And another tip, too, is if you are going to say yes to things, never make a promise when you're in good mood, because you might not be in a good mood later on and you might regret making that decision. Another habit, and this is a very important lifestyle habit that's absolutely going to impact your mindset, sleep as much as you can. Make this guerrilla mindset shift. There's nothing cool about powering through sleep deprivation. There's nothing cool about saying, oh, I only sleep 4 hours a night and I drink a lot of caffeine. It isn't cool. It doesn't make you tough. It affects your body, affects your long-term memory, it affects your health. It makes it harder to lose weight. It makes it harder to keep your concentration. Get over that whole idea that you should be sleep deprived. Now, I know that we're busy. A lot of people have children. We have to do what we have to do, but get as much sleep as you possibly can. There are a few tips that you can use, and one is get white noise or something to sleep to. I also run a fan. I get hot at night, so I have a fan blowing on my face at night. That makes me sleep well. You can also get a humidifier next to your bed, especially when it's very dry out. Right now, I live in a very humid climate, so I don't have that problem. But when it's drier out and you have a cool mist breathing in your face, it feels amazing. Also, you spend a third of your life in bed. Have you thought about how much money you spend on your bed? Do you have the best quality mattress that you can afford? I don't have a relationship with the Tempur-Pedic people. I'm not trying to get you to buy something because they pay me. But I have a Tempur-Pedic mattress topper. and it has been an absolute game changer. You can get a 4-inch memory foam mattress topper that will completely change how you sleep. There are other things you can do, like wear an eye mask, and there are other articles on sleep. I can't tell you everything about sleep other than start thinking consciously about it. How can you get better sleep? Especially buy a better bed. That'll be a big help. Your health and fitness is also going to have a major impact on your mindset. We have a whole chapter on health and fitness with a lot of tips. While I can't give you a total dietary makeover, I can tell you a few things, and again, we'll talk about that later. One tip, though, about your health and fitness that a lot of us take for granted, sitting is deadly. The more you sit, the earlier you die. Study after study has shown that. Try to stand up as often as you can. Moreover, when you sit more than an hour at a time, your body doesn't burn fat. Something weird happens. Our body just kind of shuts down. Try not to ever sit longer than an hour if possible. I try to get up about every half hour and at least stretch. You also want to do those posture exercises. And again, there's a section on posture. We're going to talk much more about this. You also want to stay hydrated. My goal is to 8 trips to the bathroom a day. And I always want clear urine. That tells my body that it's clean, it's functioning well. Another tip is turn off electronic devices for as long as you can afford to. Again, I know we're busy. I know there are demands. I can't tell you, never have your phone on you, you're Mr. Important, and you can just turn it off. But whenever you can, put that thing away. Turn off all those devices. Don't have any distractions. Just think about yourself and what you want in your life. One thing that I do is I do not have my phone on me at all at the gym. If I ever do have it on me to listen to music, I put it in airplane mode. That means that I'm not on my phone at all when I'm commuting and when I'm at the gym. That's 2 hours a day where I'm totally disconnected. I'm just focused on being in the moment. That has been a big game changer for my mood and for my mindset. And another quick sort of physical tip is do something physical every day. You can't always hit the gym. I know we're busy. Do a few push-ups. Maybe even just take a short walk, or getting a massage is actually a good physical thing you can do. Another way to modify your lifestyle in a way that's going to impact your mindset powerfully is you want to establish a morning routine. Some people call it a morning ritual. Think about the usual morning routine. This is the one I had and a lot of us had until you really start thinking about it. Alarm goes off. You wake up. You hit the snooze button. You hit the snooze button. You hit it again. You lay in bed. You kind of lean over and you look at your email or you look at the internet. You rub your eyes. You think I'm tired. Maybe you make some coffee. Maybe you take a shower. Most of us were defeated before we even got out of bed. We stay up too late and we're exhausted. We want to change that. We want to establish a positive life-affirming morning routine. Here's how you can do that. Think of yourself and make this a guerrilla mindset shift. You're an elite athlete. In the game of life, you must properly warm up for an intense and inspirational competition. That's how I think of myself. Every day I get up, I'm not just another day, another dollar. God, what am I going to do today? I just think, okay, man, life is serious. Every day you wake up, it could be a big day. You could meet the woman of your dreams. You could have a huge business opportunity. You don't know what's going to happen. But if you're not warmed up and you don't treat life seriously, are you going to be ready when that opportunity comes? Remember what they say about luck. Preparation means opportunity, and you have to prepare right when you get up. So I have a whole routine that you can do. But here are the 4 quick principles. One is just don't press the snooze button. We know you're tired. Everyone's tired first thing in the morning. That's why it's called the first thing in the morning. Just don't press it. 2, if you feel like you're about to fall asleep, just jump right out of bed. That's the best way to do it. One trick, 2, is take your phone, put it far away from where you sleep. When your alarm gets up, when your alarm goes off, you have to get up, turn it off. Get out of bed, stay out of bed. 3, rush into the shower. Again, if you're going to fall asleep, you can either take a contrast shower or a cold shower, and I'll tell you how to do that. Finally, perform this mindset-shifting brain warm-up. Powerful way to start your days with a cold shower or a contrast shower. Now, some people prefer cold showers and some people prefer contrast showers. I'm going to talk about both of those. Cold showers have been around for centuries. Spartan warriors used to take a cold shower every day and it jolted them into reality. Cold showers, they kind of fell out of favor, but they become more popular with a writer called Victor Pride, who has a website called Bold and Determined, and another book called 30 Days of Discipline. He's a big advocate of cold showers and he helped kind of repopularize the concept. Cold shower has a lot of benefits and a lot of this has been studied and you can look that up for yourself. Might raise testosterone levels, it can lower cortisol levels, it does boost your immune system, and it absolutely increases your mental toughness. I mean, you have to go in there and just let the cold water hit you. Cold showers also work as kind of a form of cardio, as you're quickly going to find your heart's going to pump to warm your limbs. What happens is that when your body gets cold, the blood changes. Your body wants to protect itself, right? so it's going to pump harder and pump more blood to try to keep you warm. Cold showers have also been used to treat mild symptoms of depression. Some people think it could help with chronic fatigue syndrome. At the very least, a cold shower will wake you up. Cold showers will wake you up, for sure. You're going to be jolted into reality real quick. If you feel tired, hop into a cold shower. You're not going to want to jump into bed. Cold showers also don't dry your skin. So a lot of people notice when they start taking them, their skin is softer, it's more hydrated. The hair even feels a little better. Now, how do you take cold showers? I'm not going to say, well, cold showers, you jump in the cold water, you're weak, go do it. How can you be so pathetic? It's a little hard at first. Some people just jump right in and rush right in, but there's a better way to do it or an easier way to do it. Start off by just running cold water on your arms and legs. Just get the water, again, cold on your arms, cold on your legs, then put your head and chest under the cold water. That's how you transition into start taking cold showers. Now I can just jump into cold showers, no problem, very easy. But when I first started off, again, go with your limbs. If you can, get one of those removable shower heads. The removable shower head allows you to easily just spread the cold water on your legs and then work your way back up. You can also take a contrast shower, which is what I prefer. A contrast shower has been used again by athletes to help them recover from hard workouts. Contrast shower also gets lymphatic fluid going because it improves blood circulation and lymph fluid flow. Here's the way you do it. When you get into the shower, start off by running warm to hot water. Some people take the water as hot as they possibly can without scalding themselves. This is your decision to make. You run the hot water over your body for about 30 to 60 seconds. Then turn the water all the way to cold. For the first couple seconds, the water actually won't feel cold because you were just hot and everything is about contrast. Then you get the cold water on you. After about another 30 to 60 seconds, switch back to warm water, then switch back to cold, then switch back to warm, finally finish with cold. You can do that back and forth, warm to hot or cold to hot as often as you want. I usually do about 3 to 5 sets at about 30 to 60 seconds each. But remember, you want to finish with the cold water. You're going to feel invigorated. Once you do that, you're going to feel great. So again, cold showers or contrast shower is a great way to start your day. It will improve your mindset. It will make you mentally stronger, and it will make you more alert. Either while you're in the shower or after the shower, before the shower, whatever works best for you, perform this brain warm-up. Now, this brain warm-up puts me in a weird position. I read this warm-up years ago, and it was a book written by John McEnroe, a sports psychologist. John McEnroe was a tennis player who was very famous for being a hothead. Well, I can't find the book. I want to give whoever wrote this credit. So if you know who wrote this, let me know so I can totally link to this person. One thing I don't ever believe we should do is I don't think we should ever take somebody's ideas and without giving them credit. So I'm going to give credit where it's due. John McEnroe, sports psychologist, kind of came up with this. I modified it a little bit. But again, if you find the book, let me know. With that said, here's the warm-up. One is you count backwards from 100. Speed is key. Don't stop if you skip a number. You're not trying to get everything 100% right when you're doing this warm-up. You just want to get your brain going. And given you just woke up, you'll likely skip a number. No big deal. Two, find a noun that fits each letter of the alphabet. What is a noun? Person, place, thing, or idea. Don't just think of the object, though. Imagine the colors and shapes and try to see it in 3D in your head. This is going to activate your right brain because you get your colors, your images, and your shapes going on, and your left brain, which is your verbal fluency. It also makes you a better writer, and it makes you more fluent. Get brain crosstalk going. So what I mean by that is you would say, A, apple, right? Apple's a noun. It's red. It's round. B, boy. C, cranberries. Could be anything. D, etc. Do that all the way A through Z. Next, create a numbered list of female names. 1 through 10. Say the number and letter out yourself out loud. For example, 1, Lisa. 2, Tina. 3, Sherry. 4, etc. Now for step 4, you want to do the same thing as above, except with male names. As with the female names above, say the number and letter to yourself or out loud. It doesn't matter. So 1, Edward. 2, Tom. 3, Bob. 4, etc. After doing that, finally, close your eyes and take 10 deep meditative breaths. As you breathe, focus on oxygenating your brain. You should feel the blood vessels and capillaries surrounding your brain start to expand. Then open your eyes and start today. You're now prepared to start your day. Now, does that seem like a lot of work? Perhaps, although it only takes 5 to 15 minutes to do all that, though, the cold shower, the contrast shower, and the warm-up, it seems like a lot of work to people. But remember that gorilla mindset shift. My day is a serious athletic endeavor that requires me to actively warm up my body and mind. And some days you're going to wake up and you're going to think, I don't feel like doing it. But ask yourself, would I warm up before lifting weights or playing a pickup game of basketball? Even golfers stretch before playing 9 holes. Life is far more taxing than playing golf. It's very serious. Treat it that way. Do your warm-up. Now you're ready to start your day, but we also want to talk a little bit about willpower so that you can understand how lifestyle and your willpower are linked. Now, willpower, and I have a bonus interview with Dr. Jeremy Nicholson. He's a social psychologist. You can read the full interview at GorillaMindset.com, but I'm going to summarize it here for you. And willpower is a fascinating subject because when we fail in life, we always say, well, I didn't have enough willpower. But what is willpower? How can we gain more willpower and make the most of what we do have? What is it all about, right? Well, I was able to sit down with Dr. Jeremy Nicholson, and we were able to talk about this. So I'm going to summarize the interview, but again, you can find the full interview at GorillaMindset.com. So I asked Dr. Jeremy. I call him Dr. Jeremy. He's a friend of mine. It says Dr. Nicholson, though, if you actually read the interview. But I said, you know, what is willpower? And he said, well, willpower is, as opposed to like other animals, like lizards, who just primarily live without any kind of understanding of a future, we have something called symbolic self-awareness. So we can imagine future behaviors and possible outcomes. You can imagine what you want to do today, what you want to do tomorrow. You can set goals. That's ultimately where willpower comes from. But as a result of this, we have the ability to improve ourselves because we kind of bounce back and forth between our future goals and between what we're doing right now. In other words, we're able to think, here's what I want to accomplish in the future by modifying my behavior today. We're able to project this imagined future set of goals onto our present self, and that's one of those unique things. And then I said, well, how do you increase your willpower? And the big takeaway here is willpower is finite. So again, remember we talked about attention is finite, energy is finite. If you're taking willpower to overcome negativity and negative energy, well, then when you want to actually achieve your goals and move on to bigger and better things, it's harder. And that's why you want to adjust your lifestyle to maximize the most of your willpower. And Dr. Jeremy, too, he has some good tips on how to make the most of your willpower, at least in terms of how to set goals. And you want to be specific, because if something is specific, it's easier to stick to because you have a clear understanding. You also want to challenge yourself, because if you challenge yourself, again, that makes you want to use your willpower. If it's not easy, or if it is easy, there is no reason to use willpower, right? It doesn't really matter. You also want to do something important. It's another way to test yourself. And then you want to find out how to have feedback. How do you know when you're using your willpower, and how do you don't know how you're using your willpower? How do you know if you've made it, and how do you if you don't made it? That's how you want to kind of start thinking about willpower. So you want to use self-control, staying in the moment, staying focused, and that isn't easy. But again, that's why you have to focus on a positive lifestyle. You don't want to always be using your willpower to overcome negative things. You want to use your willpower in a very strong, powerful way. Ultimately, that's the takeaway of willpower. It is finite, but you can make the most of it by changing your lifestyle and modifying it so that you're using your willpower to accomplish your goals to not overcome negative behaviors. Now you're starting to think more consciously about your lifestyle. And now what do we got? Well, of course, we've got a lifestyle worksheet for you. So again, this isn't comprehensive. A lot of what we're doing is to get you to think about how to optimize your lifestyle. To optimize your lifestyle, remember, what is it? What is lifestyle? Lifestyle is what you do. It's the people you're with. It's the things you do. It's the food you eat. It's the exercise you engage in. It's even the amount of time you spend on your smartphone. So you want to ask yourself, how can you arrange your life to develop the right mindset? To answer that question, look at what you do and look at who you're hanging out with. In a way, it's tied back into the ruthless focus exercises we did earlier. How do you get that good focus? Well, you want to start asking those hard questions. Are the people I'm with making me better or worse? Are the things I'm doing making me better than worse? So one thing I suggest you do is you fill out this form and ask yourself, who creates negative energy or drama in your life, and is it possible to disengage them? You might want to write these out as kind of like affirmations. I will avoid blank, fill it in, blank and blank, because those situations drain me. That could be anything. I could avoid large social gatherings. I could avoid this or that. It doesn't matter what your answer is. What matters is that you start thinking about it. The next thing is that, what are you going to seek out to better yourself? Because we don't want to just think about this mindset stuff and this lifestyle stuff as, well, how can I avoid this bad stuff? We want to think about how can you get the great stuff, right? How can you get more out of life? So you want to ask yourself, what do you want more of? You want to say, I will seek out blank, blank, and blank. By blank, I'm just saying on the page, right? Fill in the blanks. Well, what are you going to seek out and why? Well, I would say, well, I'm going to seek out this situation because while it might be stressful, it will lead to personal growth. Again, it doesn't really matter. What you put in is yours, not mine. Just start thinking about it. What do you want more of and how are you going to get it? And it's not complete. Nothing is complete. The work isn't complete. I'm still working on myself. You're still working on yourself. But start being more conscious of what you're doing. Ask yourself, am I spending time with the right people and on the right activities? You can also do these habits that will change your mindset. And a lot of these habits are kind of like mindset shifts. Again, recognize what lifestyle is. That's a habit. It might seem abstract, but just say, what is lifestyle? Remember, what is it? Tell yourself. Habit, right? Lifestyle is how I'm spending my time. Well, how am I spending my time? I'm wasting it. That means I'm wasting my life. That means my lifestyle is based on waste. Remind yourself that. That's actually a habit. Take that cold shower, that contrast shower every morning. It will make a big difference. You want to start your day off alert. You want to be prepared. Who knows what's going to happen? You want blood pumping. Perform that brain warm-up we talked about. That's going to be a big deal. And remind yourself, you're not just a regular Joe. You're not just a schlub. You're an athlete and you have an elite event today because there is nothing more elite and nothing more challenging than life. Another habit is ask yourself if you're with the right people. Follow that ruthless focus exercise we talked about in the previous chapter. That focus exercise we did in the previous chapter could have easily just been placed in your lifestyle because now you're seeing that what you focus on is what you feel. Who you focus on is who you feel. And that's part of your lifestyle, right? That's how you spend your time. So again, don't think of this stuff as all being separate. Focus is lifestyle. State is lifestyle. If you're in a good mood, right? If you're in a positive state, that's going to affect how you live your life. But if you take good care of your body, that's going to affect your state. It's going to make it easier to find that happy, optimistic state. Another thing is before bed, reflect on your previous day. But use those mindfulness activities. Don't judge yourself. Don't beat yourself up as a failure. I didn't do enough. That isn't how we want to think before bed. That isn't going to do us any good. It's not going to help us grow. Those are just negative, judgmental things. Talk again about mindfulness. Now you see why everything is connected with lifestyle. You're in bed. Maybe the day didn't go the way you wanted to do it. But that self-talk isn't going to be negative. It isn't going to say, oh, I'm such a failure. I can't believe I did that. I'm such a loser. No, you're just going to say, okay, here's what I did, step by step. And then you're going to think about tomorrow. What do you need tomorrow? What do you want to accomplish? That's going to make you sleep better because you're going to want to wake up to succeed. So again, everything is connected. All that stuff we talked about earlier, all that mindset stuff is connected to lifestyle. And the way you live your life is going to affect your mindset as well. Lifestyle and mindset are one and the same. Chapter 7, Mindset is a Body, Health and Fitness. Again, lifestyle is connected to your mindset. Well, your health and fitness is connected to your lifestyle, and it's connected to your mindset. Now, while it'd be impossible to discuss everything about health and fitness here, because this isn't a book on how to get six-pack abs, it's a book on introducing yourself to the link between mindset and health and fitness. So we're going to talk about some concepts. And as you read this, or as you listen to this, just experiment, figure things out for yourself. All of this takes growth and reflection and everything else. But there are some principles to keep in mind. Every day I try to do something to maintain or improve my blood, my breath, my posture, my lymph, and my digestion. And we're going to talk about all those now. Well, what's blood flow? Blood flow and mindset are a big deal. We don't think of it that way because what is our brain? We just think of it as what? It's kind of like a blob, right? It's kind of how we tend to think of things. And this is actually not true. Your brain is a major, major, major demander of blood. It needs blood flowing to all the time, and it takes up to 25% of the blood that circulates in your body that goes to the brain. Now, how much blood is that? The heart pumps out around 2,000 gallons a day. So blood flow and mindset are important. The heart and mind are connected. In fact, a lot of research is showing that the same risk factors leading to atherosclerosis or heart disease is what leads to dementia. So they think of it as being separate. But they're not. The heart and the head are connected. So make this gorilla mindset shift. The heart and mind are connected. If something is good for your heart, it's good for your brain. So you want to improve blood flow. What do we mean by that? Well, blood flow is just known as endothelial function. And that refers to how your arteries dilate. Dilated arteries, they're open. They allow blood to flow freely. They move. Blood pumps. It circulates. It goes all the way through your body. It goes up to your brain. Everything is great. But when you don't have good endothelial function, you have a blood clot, you have a heart attack. That's all heart attack is blood isn't flowing well throughout the body. So you want to improve blood flow to your brain. You want to improve blood flow to your heart. How do you do that? Well, weight control is a big deal, as you know by now. If you're overweight, your heart has to work harder. Everything is less efficient. A good diet is important too. Exercise, especially lifting weights, is important. Vegetables, especially flavonoid-rich fruits and vegetables, improve endothelial function. Also, nitrate-containing foods like beets and beet juice improve endothelial function. They help your blood vessels. Again, you want them open. You want them dilating and blood pumping great. So flavonoid-rich foods include blueberries, raspberries, blackberries. Citrus fruits like lemons, limes, oranges, and grapefruits. Grapes are also good. Bell peppers, onions, broccoli, and herbs are all good. They're all going to improve blood flow to your heart. They're all going to improve the heart's blood flow, which is going to improve blood flow to your brain. And there are a couple supplements you can take, too, that will improve endothelial function. There are a couple very inexpensive supplements that can improve blood flow, and that's, again, going to improve your brain. So one is aspirin. They say that an apple a day keeps the doctor away, but it might be an aspirin a day keeps the doctor away. My grandfather, he had a heart attack at 65. When he went to the doctor's office, he was told that my grandmother saved his life. How did she do this? Every day she made him take an aspirin first thing in the morning. The doctor had said the aspirin had helped him. And it's true. The Mayo Clinic describes the process. And you can go onto the website and learn more. But aspirin interferes with your blood's clotting action. If your blood vessels are already narrowed from atherosclerosis, which is the buildup of fatty deposits in your arteries, then a fatty deposit in your vessel lining can burst. Then a blood clot can quickly form and block the artery. Aspirin prevents blood flow to, and then that what that does is prevents blood flow to the heart. Well, aspirin can prevent all of that. But what you want to do is make sure you talk to your doctor, because aspirin is contraindicated with some other medications. As always, consult your physician. The next supplement you can use is L-arginine, which is a very inexpensive over-the-counter supplement that boosts your body's nitric oxide level. That, again, dilates your blood vessels. Beet juice does the same thing. Beet juice isn't really a supplement. It's a food, and you can make your own juice at home, or you can buy juice at a juice bar. You can also buy beet juice that comes in a powder, and then you mix it in with water, and then you drink it down. And there have been a lot of studies dedicated to the relationship between nitric oxide and blood flow, and you can find a lot of that information, again, at GorillaMindset.com. But do know that improving your blood flow by using L-arginine or beet juice and aspirin will improve your thinking. It'll make you more focused, and it'll make you more intelligent. Now we're going to talk about breath and mindset. Now, we all know that hard aerobic or anaerobic exercise is good for us, but what does it have to do with mindset, right? And again, that's why my approach to health and fitness is a little bit different than most. I'm not just saying do cardio because it'll make you look better, it'll make you fitter. I want to show how does it help your brain. Well, it helps in a couple ways. One is we go back to blood flow, that if you're breathing heavily, you probably have blood pumping. But two is that if you control your breath, you control your mindset. Think about when you're stressed. When you're stressed, your breathing changes. When you feel frenzied, what happens? Your increases, right? You breathe heavier. You're shallower. You're not in control. And that affects your thinking, right? So the gorilla mindset shift you want to make is to master your mindset, master your breath. Now, how can you do that? There is a way. One, you can do meditation, which we're not going to talk about, but it is one way people use to master their breath. I like to take a more active approach, and I do these breathing exercises at the gym. What I do is I get on the exercise bike or a treadmill. I actually prefer the exercise bike because I don't want to risk losing my balance. But you can use a treadmill too, but you may need to hold onto the handles. We're not, again, worried about the hard cardio right now. We just want to spend a few minutes getting your breathing out of control. So what you want to do is move your body until your heart rate is around 150 to 170 beats per minute. You can get a heart rate monitor and wear it, or you can use the ones on the machine. Generally speaking, if you don't have a heart rate monitor, you want to think of yourself as your short of breath. You wouldn't really be able to carry on a conversation with somebody. Now, as you feel your breath rate increase, pause. Take a deep breath. Hold it. Release it. Deep breath. Hold it. Release it. Now, don't take this too far. I don't want people passing out or, you know, injuring themselves. That's why you have to be careful and ease into it. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to not just let the breathing happen. What happens is when we're doing cardio, we're like, and you're not really mindful of it. You're just letting your body do what it wants to do. Well, that isn't what we want. We want you to be mindful. We want you to be conscious. And we want to control your breathing. So, again, you just take a deep breath. You just hold it and you release it. Focus on your breathing rate. You can do that for a couple minutes. Sometimes I do it for up to 5 minutes. But, again, I'm not saying hold your breath or pass out or something like that. If you feel yourself a little lightheaded, obviously stop doing it and don't take it too far. And of course, always talk to a doctor before undergoing any kind of exercise regime. Posture and mindset are also connected. Now, good posture, it keeps your organs aligned. It keeps your balance proper. It makes you less likely that you're going to fall down. You're going to injure yourself. It also makes you look taller, look more confident, and it makes you look better looking. Good posture can improve your mood and even increase your testosterone levels and lower levels of stress hormones in your body. It also improves your breathing. Posture is so important. that we're going to have a whole chapter on that coming up. In the meantime, take this gorilla mindset shift. Strong posture, strong mind. We have a whole chapter with pictures coming up. Before we do that, we're going to talk about the lymphatic system. Lymph and mindset are absolutely connected too. I didn't know much about the lymphatic system until I had a very bad lymphatic disease and I was having fluid in my body that was just held and stored.